JP Howcroft is with us, our dual international, and as we build up to a very, very important day for Australia on Saturday with Anzac Day, it was a great opportunity to catch up with one of footy's favourite figures, I reckon. He's a three-time premiership player with the Bombers. His career between 1946 and 54 is also an Anzac veteran of World War II, and it's a very, very wonderful welcome to Jack Jones this afternoon. G'day, Jack.
G'day, Daniel. How are you?
I'm really well, mate. Geez, you're looking well.
Thank you very much.
Looking very, very well. Just going through your record from a playing point of view, we'll get to the Anzac stuff shortly. Geez, you had a good time, didn't you? Three flags, seven grand finals, and played with some of the all-time greats.
Yes, I did. I was lucky to be there at the right time.
Who is your favourite to play with? Talk about Reynolds and Coleman, Hutchison, those blokes. Who was your favourite?
Hutchison.
Yeah?
Was he your favourite? He was unbelievable.
What sort of player was he for you?
He was a rover, and he won two Brownlow medals, and he was placed second and third in another time. So he was... If he was playing today, he'd be 60 possession man. That's how good he was.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah. Fast.
Wow.
Run at Straw Gift. Not at the Straw Gift meeting.
Yep.
And he was a wonderful footballer. Fair a bit prejudiced, I suppose, because he would be a great mate.
And well, that's fair
The
enough.
Wives were great mates too.
Oh, yes.
So
keep
makes
it sweet.
A difference, I suppose.
Keep it sweet there, Jack.
But Reynolds and Coleman, they were outstanding as well, as you know, with Coleman and Reynolds, three Brownlows and...
Well, they're synonymous, aren't they, with football? The Essendon Football Club, clearly, but with football, those players.
That's right, and there was other champions in the side as well. You know, you never get a Brownlow medal vote like blokes like me because the others were that much better than me, and you couldn't beat Reynolds, Coleman, and Hutchins, and they were always in the best.
Yeah,
Harold Lambert. I played with him the whole time, and he got in the team of the century on the halfback flag. So there were some great footballers.
Amazing.
There at the right time. You've got to be there at the right time.
And did it make it any more special because it was your childhood team, the suburb effectively that you grew up in as well?
Well, I was always an Essendon supporter, and I lived in Ascot Vale. I was born in Ascot Vale, and my father and brother always went to the football, and it was just synonymous with the Essendon Football Club. That's all we could see. One eye red and the other eye black.
And those days, pretty tough days for the country during those times, wasn't it, too?
Yes, it was. Well, I was born in a depression and money was very, very scarce and that. And it was a hard life growing up, you know. I left school when I was 13, actually. And I've done all right. So thankful for common sense, I suppose. That's all you've got to have, I reckon. You don't have to have brains. You've got to have a lot more common sense.
Hang on. So what do you do at 13 when you leave school? Physically, where do you go? What do you do?
Oh, just get a job wherever you could.
What did you do?
I had about four or five jobs. I'm not going to go into those. And I'd come home and dad would say, "What, you leave again?" I said, "Yeah, I didn't like it." I wanted to be a butcher. And I became a butcher until I was 50. And then I became a supervisor with the meat company, Gilbertson's were their name, the butchers. They had about 80 shops, and I was put in charge of all those. And I was there from 50 to 65, and I said, "How long has this been going on?" Because when you were a butcher, you had to get up at 4 and 2 and 3 in the morning to go to work in those days.
Yeah.
And I had a company car, and it was wonderful.
So you made sure that all your teammates were well fed?
Big pardon?
You made sure all your teammates were well fed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The first...
Essendon, little lamb chop bag.
The first Essendon supplement scanner.
the plastic bags with the lamb chops just in there from Jack. Hey, tell me, Jack, you came back from World War II to play footy.
Yep.
How important was footy to just get back to some sort of normal sense of life?
Well, I was in the army for 3.5 years. I never played for 3.5 years. I only played junior football before I went away.
Yeah.
I went to the army in 1942 as an 18-year-old. And when the war finished, we had to wait for a ship to come home for about 4 months. It was 4 months. It's the 70th anniversary of World War II this year on the 15th of August.
Yep.
And so I said, well, they built a football ground and they knocked up a couple of grandstands for the colonels and that. So if it rained and the heat in New Guinea, in Bougainville, I should say. And we played football against other battalions and transports and pioneers and everything like that.
Yep.
And then they played rugby and they had athletic carnivals. So we got home. I got home the 12th of December, I can remember. That was 3 days short of 4 months.
Yep.
And after speaking to my mother all night that night, I hadn't seen her for a couple of years, and she said there's three letters there from football clubs. And one was from Williamstown, one was from Brunswick, and the other one's from Essendon. So we had 14-foot ceilings in my mother's old house, and I reckon I would have went through the ceiling to go up and even train with Dick Reynolds. I didn't think I'd ever get a game with Essendon, so yeah. I went to Williamstown first. Ron Todd, you probably yep. read about him. He didn't want to talk to me. Went across to Brunswick. Ron Baggett. His brother coached Essendon for a couple of years in 1938 and 39. And he didn't want to talk to me. So I said, well, I'd like to go up to Essendon. So I went up to Essendon and met a chap by the name of Bill Pearson, who I was, went to school with. And he was in the Army, but he got out early and he played a few games in 1945. Mm. And he said, Jack, don't come up early. Come up for the big game. I said, oh, I want to get up there early, you know. Mad Essendon supporter and didn't want to miss an opportunity. He said, don't come up to the last game. So if you play against the senior players that played last year and you go all right, they'll look at you again. So I did that and I went all right the first game. And from then on, that was it. I made the list.
Yeah, fantastic.
Two of us made the list, a chap by the name of Matheson and myself, and out of 100 that were trying to get a game with the Bombers. And I got on the list and I got in the first game and that was it.
So how competitive were those little scratch matches in Bougainville? Do you remember?
Oh, well, we played in our underpants and our army boots, truly. And the ground was as tufts of grass everywhere and that. But after the war, they must have said, I don't know how they did it, but they got grass. And there was no, had to come by boat because there's no planes around in those days.
Yeah.
And anyway, they made the football ground and they picked the Victorian side and against the rest of the Australia. Well, there was no Brisbane football up there and none in Sydney at the time.
Yep.
So we killed them and I played well. And that's probably... And about 30 years later, I didn't know who sent the letters. 30 years later, a chap by the name of Les Begley played with us and I used to follow him. He was a bit older, but he was up the islands. So he's the one that sent a letter, and one of the chaps at this team meeting one day, and he said, how'd you get to Essendon, actually, Jack? I said, well, I told the story that I just told you. And Les Begley said, you know now, Jack? I said, what do you mean? He said, it was me that sent the letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I didn't find out a good 30 years later on.
Gee, amazing.
Physically, what kind of condition were you in?
Think about it.
Physically, what kind of condition?
Oh, I was good, but the only football I played the 3.5 years was the 4 months after the war finished.
Yeah.
But no, it was pretty hard up in New Guinea and Bougainville. You know, the mountains are pretty high, so we're pretty fit.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to get in the first game, and as I said, that's it.
JP Howcroft is with us, our dual international. We've been blessed to have the company of Jack Jones with us this afternoon in the studio, 3-time premiership player with the Bombers in some wonderful years, and 46 and 49 and 50, the back-to-back ones in 49 and 50, and of course, he's a veteran of World War II as well in New Guinea and Bougainville, the 24th Infantry Battalion. Jack, tell me about, you said 18 you were when you enlisted in
18 when I first went into the Army, Daniel, and we did a lot of training because we'd never ever seen what a hand grenade was or a rifle or automatic rifle. So we did 6 weeks at Watsonia,
yep,
barracks over at Watsonia, and then we went up to Queensland at Canundra, a great big, like New Guinea, you know, mountains and hills and everything like that. So we had a bit of an idea where we were going. And that's how it happened, you know.
And for, what was your mindset going into that? I mean, obviously it would have been pretty horrifically daunting, I would imagine.
Well, it was, but a lot of people have asked me that. Well, it was just like a job, honestly. It sounds a silly thing to say.
Mm.
But, you know, like we had 91 killed and 197 wounded, and the ranks were getting a bit low.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get up and go and do what you got to do, and then... that night, you mightn't get back to your company for a couple of weeks. You never take your boots and shoes off. That's the last thing you ever took off in the Army, because you never survived without your boots. That was one of the main things.
Yep.
Your clothes, yes, because it was so hot and humid, as you know what the tropics are.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was just like a job, actually. It probably sounds silly to a lot of people listening.
Well, I don't think many people listening could possibly comprehend what you were doing, Jack, so... You've lived it. You're the one that can tell the story on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, just another day. because you knew what you were in for, and you know that it was terrible. You know, I often think every Anzac Day is very sad because we've got 26 buried in Port Moresby Cemetery, and there's another 45 in the Allais Cemetery. So they're the blokes I think of. Here am I, 90, and they died at 19, 20, 21. You know, we were a young battalion, as you said, the 24th Infantry Battalion, and it becomes sad on Anzac Day every year.
And what has footy done for you with Anzac Day? Because it's brought the history of Anzac Day to a lot of people and has got the message out there to perhaps a lot more people than were initially aware of what happened and the history, of course, of Anzac Day. What's footy mean to you on Anzac Day?
Well, I generally take the... they named the Jack Jones Development Academy, you know, for all first, second year and third year players coming. They stay in the academy for 3 years, and every year I take them to the Shrine.
Yep.
We meet at the Shrine and they do a tour and I explain what happened and everything like that. And a lot of them don't know anything about it, you know, there was nothing in the papers. But now it's totally different. When you march of a day now, Anzac Day, which I'll be doing, well, I'm the last 6 years I've marched on my own. All my mates are gone or can't do the march.
Yeah.
And we have about 30 siblings marching with me, a couple of my grandkids and things like that. And it's... the people are calling out along the way. Thanks very much, boys. Thanks, chaps. And they're clapping. And people there with their kids in prams and young people. And it's great. You feel very honoured to be spoken to like that.
Yeah, nice.
And you just wave and say thanks very much. And it's lovely.
Jack, when you're at the Shrine with the young Essendon players, do you have any particular messages that you communicate to them about your experiences?
I talk to them. We do a tour. We have a guide taking us through the tour, and they explain to the boys this and that. We see a video, and then after we just peruse what they ask me questions about, what it was like and everything like that. And similar to what I'm saying to you at the moment, you know, it was a job.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, you didn't worry about what's going to happen to you. I can honestly say that.
Okay. Interesting.
Sounds silly, but...
yeah, well, it's just...
and that's everybody.
Yeah.
But there were a lot. There still were a lot that the word tropo came in. It because there's nothing to do, you know, even when you come back from the front line, you're up there for, say, a month, and then you'd come back, and then you'd go back again. And it was very hard, and we're all only... our battalion, as I said before, I'll probably repeat myself, but we're only 19 to 24, and the only ones that were older were the officers who done training and knew all about the guns and the hand grenades and everything like that I was talking about before.
Does it bring you joy? Are you happy about the fact that we are learning more about the Anzacs and the whole history of what soldiers like you and veterans like you have given up through your life and had to go through footy particularly? Does that bring you joy? Do you smile when you think about that?
Yeah, I do. And I really grew up in those 3.5 years because you're only a teenager. A teenager when we went in. They couldn't send us overseas until you were 19. You had to be over 19. Then you had a VX number instead of a V number. And I was in the Army for 3.5 years. And I've said before, never had any football until the last 3 months. Excuse me.
And this Friday, Jack, you'll be attending the inaugural Anzac Eve lunch at Crown to raise funds for the RSL. And I believe there's still some match day tickets that you can get access to. It's obviously a very big event at the MCG, Collingwood and Essendon on Saturday. You can get access to the ground through tickets to the lunch. Proceeds go to the RSL of Australia. Tickets are $250. Or $350 with match day ticket to the clash. You can go to anzacappeal.com.au for more details on that. Before I let you go, Jack, and I wish we had another 3 weeks to talk to be honest with you. Tell me about your penchant for being recognised as the great Dick Reynolds and the fact that you sometimes have to take photos with people thinking you're Dick Reynolds.
Yeah,
Ian Robson has just rung through, the former CEO of the Bombers.
So, oh, Ian, did he?
Yes, he did.
He'd be like that. How are you, Ian? He'd be listening. I reckon 100-200 people have probably asked me, how are you, Dick? And the stories go on and on. And Johnny Burt, the great Essendon Rover, years gone by, he doesn't call me Jack anymore. He keeps calling me Dick. Every time he walks up to me, he says, "G'day, Dick," because we're on the Premiership Players Committee. I was the treasurer and he was on the committee, and it was a big joke between us. And even now, he's an ambassador to the club like me, like doing tours out at Windy Hill and now Tullamarine. And I always have to laugh about Johnny Bird saying, "G'day, Dick." And he started introducing to me to the former players that play with him. "You know Dick, don't you?" He wouldn't say that's Reynolds, great. He'd say, "You know Dick."
It's terrific. It's great.
Jack, if I can ask you one question before we leave you. You probably know Essendon better than anybody else going around. Where are Essendon right now? After everything that's gone on in your understanding of the club over a long period of time, where are they?
Well, they're still 100% in my book. Like, I've been following them for, 82 years that I can remember when I saw my first game. And they're a great club. They've had great presidents. I've known the last 10, I think, in that particular time. And they're 100% in my book, so this supplement scandal is not going to change my mind one bit.
Good on you, Jack. On behalf of everyone listening, and certainly on JP and my behalf, thank you for all that you've done and the life you've allowed us to leave with you and your mates, your comrades, and that are still here with us, and the ones that have fallen as well. Thank you. Have a great Anzac Day. We appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, Daniel and John.